Amen. Thank you, boys and girls, for that special tonight. Let's take the Word of God and turn to the book of John, if we could. The Gospel of John, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 60. It has been a wonderful day in the house of the Lord today. An eventful day. I dropped my son off for bus this morning and came home. And I heard a shriek from my wife and came running out. And there was a chipmunk in our family room. And I stared at him and he stared at me. And he took off. And he ran under our couch. And there was some screaming happening. I'm not going to tell you who was doing the screaming, my wife or myself. But I tried to trap it in the corner, and it went from the couch to the chair, ran under the chair. And I had a plan. I was going to open the door and just leave it to it. You know, my thinking is that chipmunk doesn't want to be in the house. And so I opened the door and just walked away and just kind of the corner of my eye watched to see what this chipmunk was going to do. And finally, it made a beeline out the door. So one for me, zero for chipmunk. It was a good day. Amen. When we bought the house, there was a hole in our screen door. And my wife has been telling me I need to get the screen door fixed. She's right. It needs to be fixed. Chipmunk today, who knows what's going to be tomorrow, right? John chapter 6, verse number 60. The Bible says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? John chapter 6, verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's pray together. Father, help us, I pray, as we look at your word, give us understanding and wisdom. And Father, may this principle ring true in our life as we run the race set before us. Help us, Lord, I pray, Lord, to follow the truth of the Word of God, and may it be light to our pathway. And Father, I pray that you would help us to make good decisions tonight. May you be glorified in our time together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I think of this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded in the Scripture, the words of the Lord Jesus, as he looked at his disciples and said, will ye also go away? I think when we read this passage of Scripture, we have a comprehensive commentary of those who would be false or fake disciples. Now, as we look through the various pages of the book of John, it is a continual theme taught by the Lord Jesus of how the multitudes were missing the message that Christ was trying to give to them. He was trying to teach them spiritual lessons, that he was the Messiah, But all they saw the Lord as was an earthly king, that he would defeat the oppression of the Romans and set them free. But he was a spiritual Messiah. He was the Son of God that would free them from sin and give to them eternal life. And yet Jesus said of the great multitude in verse 64, he says, there are some of you that believe not. You believe not that I am the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so the Lord began to give them some hard doctrine, some teaching. And to the point where the disciples said, this is a hard saying. And Jesus said, well, if it doesn't offend you, then you're going to be blessed by it. If you keep on following, serving, moving forward. In verse 62, the Bible says, and what? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, verse 64. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Now, this is a doctrine that I think we have to understand. As the Bible talks about the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, God knows everything. He is God. And just because God knows who will be saved doesn't mean that God forced them or went around their will and elected them to salvation. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, he knew who would believe. He knew who would betray him because he is God. He's God. And so the Bible says in the multitude of people, there were those that believed not. There were those that would turn their back on him and betray him. And there were those who would believe, would trust him with their heart, that he was the Savior, the Son of God. And Jesus knew all of it, the Bible says. In verse 63, it is the Spirit, he says, that gives life. Our flesh profiteth nothing. He announces really this anthem of spiritual life or eternal life, that it is not found in ourselves. It is found in the work of God. And then verse 66, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. The Bible says those that followed for material reasons and not for spiritual reasons, who looked for a reigning king, who looked for him to overthrow the Romans, they weren't getting that from him. And so the Bible says they turned away. What brought things to a head, as you study through the Scriptures, is when his listeners heard matters concerning his flesh in chapter 6, verse 51. And what he had to say about this was, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It's important to understand that what the Lord is teaching here is by his flesh. It's not his literal body, such as the concepts of various religions in our world. But his flesh really is a metaphor he uses for his human nature, the totality of his life. He was going to give his life for the world, his sacrificial death. And he says, I will give for the life of the world. I will give myself, his death on the cross. He spoke of the fact that he would die. That he would die to save humanity. That he would give his life. And so many of those people followed him for carnal, fleshly, material reasons. In fact, in verse 26, Jesus said, ye seek me not because of the miracles, but because you were fed. You only are come to get a meal. They weren't looking for spiritual help. They weren't seeking for the truth. No, they just wanted some loaves of bread and some fish. And so many people in our world today, they follow God, if I could put it that way, or are interested in spiritual things, only because what they can get from it, what they can gain. They think God is just a magic genie that they could just rub the bottle and your wish is my command. And that's how they live their life and that's how they treat God. It's all about what they gain, their material gain. But Jesus was interested, listen to me, in the spiritual need of humanity. And that was that their sin would separate them from God forever. He said to the Pharisees, "You must believe that I am He, the Messiah, or you'll die in your sins." He was concerned about the spiritual needs of people. And so the Bible says many walked away. They stopped following Him. And then in verse 67, He turns to the 12 disciples. After multitudes of people walk away, after great hordes of people leave, He turns to His disciples in verse 67, and He says to them, "Will ye also go away? Will you also stop following Me? Will you also stop being My disciple?" And I want us to take a moment for spiritual application for our life on this wonderful long weekend, May 20th, 2018. I want us to think about the response that we have to help us in life. Number one, think about the conviction of Peter. Peter was convinced that no other teacher, that no other rabbi or person could take the place of Jesus in his life. And Peter said, "Lord, where would we go? Who would we seek? Who would we talk to? Should we follow religion? Should we follow a works-based salvation? The Pharisees that were empty? Lord, who should we follow? Should we chase after the emptiness of the world?" He said, "No. You're the key to eternal life." You see, in this passage of Scripture, we see Peter's conviction in his heart. Friend, let me ask you this question. Who, after hearing the Lord Jesus, would want to follow after Buddha? Would want to follow the teachings of Confucius or Muhammad? Who, after hearing the pureness of the Lord Jesus, would listen to Darwin or Marx? And here Peter said in this passage of Scripture, "Lord, who would we follow? For You have the pathway, the way, the key to eternal life. You have the words of eternal life." I love what the hymn writer said. He said, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty." This was the song of Peter. Now, if you take the Bible at face value and you forget about the teachings of our world and you look at what the Bible has to say, first of all, you'll find out the Bible is a book about Jesus. From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, it talks about the Lord Jesus. And it talks about the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus. From the law as a picture of what Christ, what the law could not do, what Christ would fulfill. And all the way through the Bible, through the pictures of the ark and the blood upon the post in the book of Exodus. And time and time and time again, the lamb that is shed for the sacrifice of the children of Israel. Time and time again, Jesus Christ is seen. It's a book that presents for us the Lord Jesus. And we must come to the conclusion when we read the Word of God that Jesus came to die for man's spiritual debt and that there's no other way to heaven, only through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and He is the only acceptable sacrifice that supplies and satisfies the holy demands of Almighty God. The reality is, friend, in Jesus Christ, we have a home in heaven. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And when we are confronted with the truth of the Lord Jesus, there are two thoughts. Number one, we must not reject Him. We must not reject Him. The Bible says it this way in John chapter 6, verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise come cast out. He is the bread of life. He gives salvation to all freely. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus Christ gives eternal life to all that will call upon him. And that's a wonderful truth. Because when you're giving someone the gospel, you can never give it to the wrong person. Jesus died for the world. Jesus loves the world. And Jesus wants the world to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we must not reject him. And that's the message as Christians to a world. That's our message. We must not reject him. But if you know the Lord today, I want to remind you that we must not neglect him. We must not neglect him. How shall we escape? The Bible says in Hebrews 2, if we neglect so great salvation. Many Christians are backslidden in their life. They once used to do things. They once were excited about the things of God, but they have lost sight of a great salvation. They have taken their eyes off the Lord Jesus, and they have begun to follow their own pathway and their own ambitions. And I want to remind you today that we must not neglect the wonderful salvation offered to us in Jesus Christ. We have Christ as our Savior. He is our Savior. He's washed our sins away. We must walk in the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. And so there's the conviction of Peter. Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. I want us to think about number two, the confession of Peter. The Bible says in verse 69 of our text, the Bible says here, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a pretty powerful confession. It is upon the confession of Peter that the church was built upon. Jesus Christ being the head of the corner. Jesus Christ, the head of the church. The Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremias, and one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Greek language is very strong in the expression that we find in John chapter 6. As Peter says in verse 69, we believe and are sure. Peter is saying that we, that statement there in our Bibles, we, those who are closest to you. You see, what he's saying is, Lord, we don't care what everyone else thinks. We don't care that there's multitudes leaving. We don't care that they are waiting for you to establish a Roman or overthrow the Roman government and they're leaving because of the doctrine that you preach. We don't care about those things because we know who you are and we are convinced that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, our world is fickle today. Our world is fickle today. And your conviction of who Jesus is going to weather a lot of storms in your life. Your conviction in who Jesus is going to help you as you sail through the world we live in. What does the Bible say about the Lord Jesus? Well, let's turn to the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and notice what the Scripture says. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And look what the Bible says in the very first chapter, John chapter 1. The Bible says it this way in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him, the Lord Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible speaks in the scripture, in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is speaking of the Lord Jesus. The Jews had great respect and great fear for the Word of God. When God spoke, they trembled. And so when we see this passage of Scripture, in the beginning was the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, it's speaking of the Lord Jesus, and it's given to us three important truths about who Jesus is. First of all, Jesus Christ is equally God. Amen. He's equally God, amen? Jesus is God. Jesus Christ is eternally God. He's had no beginning, and He will have no end. And Jesus Christ is essentially God. In other words, He never ceased being God when He became a man. 100% man, 100% God. As God, He forgave sins. As a man, He thirsted on the cross. And so Jesus is equally God, eternally God, and essentially God. He is the creator of all. Verse number 3. By Him, everything, the Bible says in the book of Colossians, by Him, all things consist. And the reality in our world today is those that blaspheme His name in mockery and take His name in vain, they have no idea who they're talking about. Because He's the one that gave them life. By Him, all things consist. The Bible speaks of His power. The Bible speaks of His promises. And we find in this passage of Scripture, we find Peter says, Lord, we know who You are. And it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the world does. We know who You are. I want us to turn together to a passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you turn there. Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. We could call him his son in the faith. The second letter is given to him in this wonderful book. And here we find Paul has a purpose in the letter that he's given to this young man. The Bible says we'll begin our reading in verse 6 of the first chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, it's not popular to serve the Lord during this time. I would say it's never really been popular to serve the Lord. There has always been opposition in the service of Christ. But at this particular time in Christianity, it's not popular. Paul's in prison. He's waiting to die. Christians are being persecuted here and there. And here Paul is writing Timothy saying, Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In verse 8 he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. By the way, the testimony of our Lord was that He faced opposition. The testimony of our Lord is that He's beaten and nailed to a cross. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life into immortality to light through the gospel whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, and for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. And don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Sadly to say, in verse 15, Timothy is told by Paul, verse 15, thou knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. How sad is that? They've all left, Timothy. But don't be ashamed. Why wasn't Paul ashamed? He says, for I know, look at this, for I know whom I've believed. Do you see it? I'm convinced who Jesus is. I know He is in control. It's a dark, it's a long, it's a hard pathway. Hey, I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. So he says to Timothy, who seems to be wavering, seems to be distancing himself from Paul the apostle, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. I know whom I have believed. There's a wonderful hymn in our hymn books, and it says, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own, but I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And so the Bible gives us the conviction of Peter. Lord, where would we go? The confession of Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to give to you, if I could, Jesus' counsel in this passage of Scripture. So Peter said in this Scripture, Lord, those that are close to You, we believe that You are the Christ. Those who are following You, which would be His 12 disciples, oh, we know who You are. And we're not going to be persuaded. No, we're going to keep our eyes on You. We know who You are. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 70. Jesus answered him. He says, have not I chosen you 12? By the way, the choosing there speaks of an office to be a disciple. Judas was not a Christian. He did not know the Lord. The Bible says, he says, I have not chosen you 12 to be disciples, and one of you is a devil. That's a pretty strong statement. I've chosen 12, and I have to tell you that one of you is a devil. In verse 71, the Lord gives us a commentary on what He said. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. I have been a part of ministry and serving the Lord in various places. I've been in Kitchener for over 10 years, and I've served the Lord and helped in various ministries. When I was in Bible college, I interned at a church and my home church in Nova Scotia. I grew up there. And the reality is that when you look back at church life or Christians in general, sometimes you shake your head and you wonder what happened to that individual or this individual. And one time they were serving the Lord and they were on fire for God, and you thought, wow, you thought, you know, God is really using that individual. And then one day it seems they walk away from the things of the Lord. And you're surprised by the decision that is made. You're surprised by where they are in their life. Some turn away from the Bible altogether, say that they were never Christian. Others just stop serving the Lord, don't go to church anymore. And sometimes, you know, you you scratch your head and you wonder what is going on. My message tonight is I want to encourage you. You cannot allow, and this is what God has been teaching me in my life. Listen, friend, you cannot allow the decisions of people to discourage you. Peter said, Lord, we who are close to you, these disciples, we know who you are. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't understand. I've chosen 12 in the office of disciples, and one of you is a devil. You know, when you think about when the Lord Jesus told his disciples that Judas Iscariot would be the one that would betray him, he says, the one that I give the sop to, that's the one that's going to betray me. And they gave the sop to Judas, and the disciples didn't believe it. They thought, oh, the Lord wants him to go buy some more bread. I mean, they didn't understand that it would be Judas, that Judas would be the one that would betray the Lord. And so the Bible teaches us, I believe in this scripture, that we know who the Lord is, and we have that conviction and that confession. And friend, listen, I want you to understand, there'll be people in your life and they will fail you. But Jesus never fails. And you can trust him with your life. I want you to turn and go back to 2 Timothy chapter 15 and look what the Bible says in verse 15. In verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says in the text we read, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. And then notice how this is written. It's interesting. Of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes? Now notice how this is placed grammatically in this passage of Scripture. It's almost like everyone is turned away, and these two individuals are focused. Why? Because they were well-known people, and Timothy knew who they were, and many of the other Christians knew who they were, and they were seen as pillars and strong within the church. And here Paul is saying, Timothy, I want you to know that all of Asia be turned away from me. And these two individuals, you know them well. They've also turned away from me. But I want you to be sure, I want you to know of whom you believed, and be persuaded that God is able to keep you and keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. Listen to me, friend. No matter what the world believes and no matter what the world does, we must follow the word of God. We must stand true to the Bible. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and get involved in the work. For it is Christ that has given us eternal life. We receive from him. And friend, today we must know whom we have believed. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are running a race, and that we must run our race that's set before us. We must run it with patience. And we must run it keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've learned this. If you place your eyes on people, you're going to be disappointed. And you're going to be discouraged. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. He'll never fail you. He'll never disappoint you. You'll never be confounded, the Bible says. You see, Peter said, Lord, who would we go to? What teacher would we follow? You give us the pathway. You know the way to eternal life. It is through you that we have salvation. And upon this confession, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. And the Lord gives him some counsel. Peter, keep your eyes on the Lord. Because there will be those who will turn away, disappoint. Keep your eyes on me. God, help us today. Let's pray together. Father, help us, Lord, I pray. Lord, many times,
others. And Father, as we run the race that's set before us, I pray you would help us, Lord, to even use this time tonight to make sure our eyes are on you. As we think of the direction of our world, as we think of the frailty of life, help us, Lord, I pray, to look unto Jesus. Lord, give us boldness. Help us not to fear. And Father, may we not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would go before us on this wonderful long weekend. Guide and direct us with this principle in our life, that we would go through the week and through the months ahead, looking unto you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.